Tonight on Coast to Coast, we are going on a remarkable adventure with our guest, Jay Widener. And this adventure could take us to places we might not want to go, but we're going to have to. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. Jay Widener is an author. He's a filmmaker. From 1991 to 1995, Jay was the public affairs director at KCMU-FM in Seattle. He also produced and hosted the weekly radio show called Mind Over Matters. He has written articles for many periodicals and journals over the years. In 1996 and 97, Jay produced and hosted the Awakening to Gaia conferences in Boulder, Colorado. These two conferences were designed to bring together many of the diverse scholars, authors, teachers interested in examining alternative historical and scientific theories. In 1997, Jay created and produced the alternative esoteric video catalog named Explorations. And from the years 98 to 2000, Jay was the video development director for Conscious Wave Productions, also in Colorado. He also produced, wrote, directed the nationally reviewed documentary for Conscious Wave titled Earth Under Fire. And since the year 2000, Jay has been the president of Sacred Mysteries Productions, a video production and distribution company. He's currently in production on a feature film called Secret Landscapes. He's our guest tonight at Coast to Coast. Hey, Jay, first time. Welcome.
Thank you, George.
My pleasure indeed. How did you get interested in these mysteries?
Well, that's an interesting question. originally, when I first became involved in the mystery that we're going to discuss tonight, I was really a kind of a completely different person than I ended up being after nearly 20 years of research. I was a pretty much a hard-nosed journalist. I believed in science and didn't really believe in any spiritual matters much. And then I got involved in all of this and got transmuted myself into a completely different person who now believes wholeheartedly in all of this and a lot of things that 20 years ago I would have been hard-pressed to say I believe in.
Was there one episode in your life, Jay, that began to point you in this direction?
Well, it really was. It was my discovery in 1986 of the book Mysteries of the Cathedrals by a strange author with the name of Fulcanelli, and I actually set out to prove that everything in the book was actually wrong and that it was just a waste of time, and ended up finding that the book was perhaps one of the most important books ever written.
Now tell me about the author, Fulcanelli.
Yeah, well, Fulcanelli is the beginning of the mystery, because Fulcanelli is anonymous, and Fulcanelli lived in Paris in the 20s and published his book, Mystery of the Cathedrals, in 1926, and then supposedly disappeared from this world. He did make a couple more appearances, I guess, but the fact that he was anonymous really rang my bell. As a journalist, I knew one thing, and that was anyone who was interested in these kinds of things was usually carrying around an ego on a wheelbarrow, and being anonymous, I found extremely surprising. So that triggered my interest originally in the fact that no one knew who Fulcanelli was, and actually to this day, no one really knows.
It's almost as if whoever he might have been, he wanted just to get a message out and didn't really need the attention or the notoriety for it.
In fact, that's exactly right. In fact, he sought to not be found, and there are many cases, strange and odd cases, that have gone through the years where it's quite obvious that the people who were around Fulcanelli are creating cover stories and trying to hide the fact of whoever he was or wherever he came from. The OSS, the precursor to the CIA,
sure,
actually instigated an investigation into Fulcanelli at the close of World War II and swept through Paris and almost all of France, searching for Fulcanelli and searching for anyone who knew him and questioning them and creating a huge file on Fulcanelli.
That's amazing. What, if anything, do you know about him?
Well, only what I can glean from his books, the real book that he wrote, which is Mystery of the Cathedrals. He tells us that he grew up in Amiens, which is a city north of Paris, and that he visited the cathedral there when he was a young boy. But there are striking anomalies in the text, things that he knows seem like only someone who had been alive for a long time would know, little details about Notre Dame, the cathedral in Notre Dame, and little details about the neighborhoods in Paris, and just striking things that once you start delving into the mystery, you begin realizing that Folcanelli is intimating between the lines that he may have been around a lot longer than we or you or I could possibly be around.
Spell his name for us, Jay, so many of our listeners can do some of their own homework to try to track down some information.
It's Fulcanelli, Folcanelli.
You didn't use a first name, just this name?
Just one name. There's various translations. It could mean the tunnel in the volcano, Vulcan, could also be attributes to earlier alchemists who had names similar to Folcanelli, or it could be an anagram. At this point, no one seems to know exactly who he was.
Well, this book then, Mysteries of the Cathedrals, which sent you on your path, when you read this book, was it mired in code, or was it a travelogue? What was it?
Well, that's a good question. It's actually, as someone who considers themselves to be highly intelligent, the book, when I read the book, it was actually the first book, and I'd struggled through James Joyce's Ulysses and through various tomes on modern physics that would have wrenched serious minds, and I understood it. But when I read Folcanelli, I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. And that vexed me beyond any measure, considering that I thought I was pretty intelligent, and here I was with a book in my hands that I absolutely could not comprehend.
Way over your head at that time?
Way over my head, way over anyone's head. In fact, the two books that I co-wrote are really the only books, full-length books, that are about what Folcanelli is talking about. No one, French, English, American, German, anyone, no one has tackled Folcanelli in the in-depth way, and not so much who Folcanelli was, but what is Folcanelli saying.
I had a guest a couple of years ago, Jay, as a matter of fact, 4 years ago, who has turned out to be one of our favorite guests and a dear friend of mine. And in my very first interview with him when I was filling in on this program, I read up on him, I studied him as well as I could. But I got to tell you, once I was into the interview process, like this book, Mysteries of the Cathedrals for You, I had no idea what he was talking about. It was way over my head. And I kept just scrambling to try to find things that I could talk with him about in angles, and I just didn't understand him. And then, you know, and I ended the interview abruptly, did not give him the justice that he needed. And maybe it was about 6 months or a year later, after I began to really understand and mature a little bit, not only into the show, but who he was, I began to realize what he was trying to tell us. And got him back again, and it was a delightful interview, and now they just click. So I can understand how you feel when you read this book for the first time and you didn't understand it.
Yeah, it was a very, very, very odd feeling. And so as I read the book, and I kept the book by my bedside for, well, it's still by my bedside, so almost 20 years now. I first read the book in 1986. So 19 years I've kept the book by my bedside, and about every 2 months I reread it, and it's one of those strange books that every time you read it, it turns into a different book.
Yeah.
It's a book you've never read before, and it's very coyly written. It is designed to ignite certain synaptic responses inside the brain, and I believe that actually the book is a very clever initiation designed by more than one person. I believe that Folcanelli actually was a member of a very, very secret society.
Interesting.
Designed to enlighten the human race.
Without directly telling us.
That's right.
What he was trying to say.
Yes.
Could have been Masons, Templars? What do you think?
Well, my final opinion on that is that there's a group, and I'm doing some serious research on this right now, there's a group that sits above the Freemasonic orders, and it, until within the last 150 years, I think even the Freemasonic orders have begun to fall apart, but they sit above it and pretty much control the orders. But you have to understand that at this point in time, as we near the end of time, all systems are breaking down, so not even enlightened orders are being able to perform the tasks that they're needed to be performed at this time, because there's vast confusion and darkness all around, and very few people can deal with the large questions that are in front of the human race.
Some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight as it relates to the apocalypse and other issues, is it your opinion now, Jay, that things that people have been so concerned about, in other civilizations have always believed they were in their own end times, that they were going to be in their own apocalypse, it was going to happen. And it never did, even though they had their own problems that could seem like it was. Do you think we're in it now, or are we one of those civilizations like the past that we're having our own problems, and then the next group that pops up in 100 years will say, it's end times for us?
I think that, you know, all bets are off. I think that it's highly probable that what you're saying in the latter could be true. However, I do have to point out that extraordinary things are going on planet Earth right now, which are very problematic. And there seems to be a series of disorders going on, whereas there was only one or two disorders before. Now there's so many disorders that even logical people at the top of our government and of our ruling classes know that this can't go on forever, and that eventually there's going to be such a breakdown in the systems that there's going to be a calamity. There's more species going extinct now than there ever has been, both plant and animal. The water supplies are either drying up or they're so polluted they're becoming undrinkable. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just trying to point out.
Or just, you know, you have to lay out what you believe, and that's important.
Go ahead. What I'm saying is that though it's not, there's not, I don't believe that we're coming up to an apocalypse. I think we're coming up to what Fulcanelli calls the end of the Iron Age, or the end of the Kali Yuga, which is a cycle. And out of the Iron Age, as Fulcanelli tells us at the end of the book, comes the Golden Age. In other words, it's necessary.
It's an evolution.
It is. If you were born in a mansion and then you were given another mansion, it wouldn't be that big a thing to you. But if you were born in the ghetto and you were given a mansion, then that would be a big thing to you. So in order to appreciate what the coming age of reinvigoration, I call it, that's coming after 2012, we have to kind of go through the mess we're in now so that we can really appreciate how nice things will be when this finally gets over.
Yes. Absolutely. And if you were born in a mansion and you ended up living in a small little ghetto area, you'll appreciate it even more.
Absolutely. And that's where I think we're headed. I'm actually quite optimistic. I think that in the short term, it's going to be quite dangerous, and you know, I agree with John Hogue. I think there's only two popes left. I think Fulcanelli
would agree
with that.
And, interesting.
Yeah, and I think the church knows this. And by the way, the 2012 thing that's happening on the solstice, the winter solstice of 2012, is following the Venus transit, and the 2012 event is actually an eclipse of the center of the galaxy. So we're talking about eclipses. The Cross of Hendaye is talking about eclipses. And eclipses are of extreme importance to understanding the physics that lies behind what we're going through right now.
Well, we're going to talk more about the mysteries of the cathedrals, Jay, but on our website is a picture of you with several images that are linked up called the Cross at Hendaye. Now, I have popped up the second and third picture here. How tall is this cross?
how tall is it?
Yeah,
it's
about
12 feet tall. The pedestal is about 3.5 feet. It sits up on a step, so it looks a little higher than it really is. But it's 12 feet tall. It has a pillar, a Greek pillar on the top that's 6 feet, and then it has a Greek cross on the top with a Latin inscription on one side that reads, of course, the famous words above Jesus, I-N-R-I, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And on the other side is an odd, broken Latin inscription that Folconelli tells us is a message, a secret cryptic message that, you know, those who can understand will figure out.
Huh, now, this is in France. How old is this cross?
Best shot I can give it is about 350 years old. It may be a little bit older. It was, I believe, it was built by the same group of people that Nostradamus was associated with, and it's a little bit after Nostradamus, but there seems to be other imagery found in the area and in other places on Earth that fits it. And so the same images appear in several different places on Earth and appears to be handed down knowledge from, I don't know, some kind of civilization that may have been more universal than our separated civilizations that we have today, and may have had a large group of knowledge that they felt was important enough to hand down. And I believe that the cross of Hendaye, or if you're in French, Hendaye, is really the culmination of this knowledge.
This mysterious monument, then, is a message for us that we are going to try to interpret?
That's what it is for, yes. It has no other reason to exist but that.
Well, if you have a computer, get up to it. It's on the homepage under the feature article, and take a look at all the images, because we're going to be talking about them during the program. And have scholars tried to figure out what it means, Jay?
Well, several people have tackled it. Bossuet, who is a French alchemist and writer, he attempted to crack it in the 30s, didn't do a very good job. There's another gentleman named Paul Meverell who worked for NASA, I believe, and he attacked it in the late 70s and tried to really crack the cross. And he came up with a lot of very interesting things about the cross and helped me on my way. But, you know, I believe that a lot of people have cracked the cross, but they've never written about it. The reason being is that the cross points to another place on Earth, and so if you're really following the lead of the cross, you would go to the place that it's indicating to get even more information, presumably would be at the next place, and sort of lead you around to a series of places on Earth which allows you to understand the secret knowledge more completely.
Was this cross, this monument, mentioned in Folconelli's book, Mysteries of the Cathedrals?
Actually, it wasn't. It was not in the first edition, which was published in 1926. This is another thing that rang my alarm bell. In 1926, the chapter wasn't included, but the book was reprinted in 1957 and then translated into English and reprinted in 1959. And these two new reprints had the additional chapter. And frankly, the chapter is so jaw-dropping and so amazing in its science and its knowledge that one wonders why Folconelli waited, or whoever waited, to, you know, over 30 years to release the additional chapter. And my view, of course, is that it wasn't time in 1926, but it was time in 1957, 1959, to release the message of the Cross of Hendaye, because we were now within one lifetime of the end of time.
Interesting. Stay with us. Jay Widener, our guest. Fascinating, because what we're also going to get into is what are some of these mysteries behind these cathedrals. What were they trying to tell us? And who was this group? What made them so special? What did they know?